Where are you? The Whip Around with your hosts, Dave DiOrio.
Don't you stop me!
So to my question, you did.
This is my segment.
I am actually looking at Alton Brown's ambrosia recipe.
Sean Hayes.
That is totally it. That is a slam.
In space!
Words.
I'm the baloney man for Halloween. You just can't see it.
And Dr. Phil LaPorta.
No, this guy represents death and you're going to die. Like, that should happen. It's funny you say spewage. It's space toilets.
Oh!
A weekly look at news, current events, and pop culture phenomena. Where nothing is safe, nothing is sacred, and nothing is censored. So get your it's the Whip Around.
Happy Thanksgiving Eve, I guess.
That was a turkey.
That was a real turkey. That was
Get over here, turkey.
And that turkey, ladies and gentlemen, is Dave, the stuffing master. I don't know. DiOrio. And I, as ever, am Sean, the bad pilgrim Hayes. And we're here to scratch your weird news itch. And Dave, let's get the social media business out of the way, shall we?
Yeah, baby. My name's Dave DiOrio, and you can find me on Twitter at @fat_lobster.
And I'm on Twitter at Jonathan B. Hayes, I'm pretty sure. And I'm on Facebook and Instagram as Sean Hayes, spelled S-H-A-U-N phonetically and all that. It's Dave and myself this week. It is a busy time for everybody, but Dave and I are just hardcore. Like a couple
of. It feels
of,
crowded in here, though.
It does. We take up a lot of space, and you're wearing a Sixers beanie and all kinds of business. And I'm sure we'll touch base about sports at the end of the show, so Dave can talk to you about how that went. And if you're listening to Podadelphia much, you're excited to hear him explain. But let's jump right into some news, Dave. Is that cool?
Yeah, man. That's what we're here for.
Because I've got a little something that I thought of you when I read this, and I really want to know what your take is on this, okay?
Yeah.
And I can do this. We can do this because there's a tiny bit of extra time because Jill is not here being, you know, dry wit with her own thoughts. And Phil's not here to tell us anything sciencey. So we can just rap about this. I felt it only right to bring up something here that we have in common in the news. And that is there is some news on the Song of Ice and Fire Game of Thrones book front.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You and I have that in common that we both wait gargantuan amounts of time now that you finally got me into it a couple of years ago for him to deliver another book. And I do have news about that for you.
Oh, well, do tell.
It is not done.
Yeah, all right. That's news?
Evidently, this is according to the Wall Street Journal and then the Onion AV Club, which I really like. AV Club, check it out. They were talking about this too. He's kind of sort of admitting at this point, like, all right, I'm kind of in shit the bed territory with this book. Like, like, you're right, I'm fucking this up a little bit. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. He's writing, you know, a prequel and he's writing for, but fuck you, man. Like, come on. Anyway, do you know how long it's been, actually? I don't want to ruin anything. Do you know how long has it been since Dance with Dragons came out, Dave?
I'm going to say it was 2013?
You're darn close. I believe it was 2012. It's been 7 years.
Okay.
It's been 7 years since the Dance with Dragons came out. And that shit took 6 years for him to write since whatever the one was before that, Murder of Crows?
Feast for Crows.
All right. Well, great. Still a fun title, I suppose. But he claims now, though, Dave, that he is, quote, in hiding, all alone in what he's calling a remote mountain hideaway whose location he refuses to disclose. He's in the bunker now.
Okay. And the was it the Ire? The
Eyrie?
The Eyrie? Yeah, yeah.
Mon? I don't know. I guess it's his equivalent.
Just jump out the moon door, baby. It's over.
If you can't get this together by next winter, jump through the fucking moon door. Avid fans of the Superfan sites, Winter is Coming is the site, and they note that this is exactly what happened last time, right before, like a couple months, I guess, before Dance with Dragons came out. He was in a remote cabin as well doing that one, which if we're going to, was in the first Obama term. Was when this happened last time, and I wanted to know what your thoughts are on this whole thing. It's still not done. It's been 7 years. He's holed up in the cabin. everybody else is saying that, oh, that this was just like last time.
Honestly, I'm done. Like, I'm done with it. When he really, I'm not reading it. It's been so long since I've read any of it.
Yeah.
I feel like I would have to reread almost everything to get caught up again, and there's no way I'm doing that. It's just like it's drawn out too long, and it's not like Feast for Crows and Dance with Dragons were great.
Mm.
I mean, Feast for Crows, you could, you know, rename Brienne walking.
That's correct. I believe you coined that, and I have used that many times since.
Dance with Dragons was better, but I mean, the show has now superseded the books as, like, source of truth, in my opinion.
Well, how would they not, right? I mean, it's like, look, right. They're here, for one thing. So, if anything,
I'll just rewatch the show, and I'll just skip the books altogether at this point.
Yeah, you know what I'll do? I'll just go watch the whole series again. I think even that is an enormous investment of time and emotional energy. The only thing I think, Dave, I'm like, all right, I am excited, and it's really for one character. Because in the books, there's Lady Stoneheart, you know, the...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Spoilers, if you want to go ahead and hit fast forward, I guess. You know, Cat, whatever the fuck their name is, Wolf Lady. See Stark. How long? It's Stark, thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
Catelyn Stark is dead, and now she's back as Lady Stoneheart, so that's a whole thing. But I swear to God, if that book opens and that character is, like, promptly beheaded, I'm like, all right, bye-bye. Not because I'm so invested, but, like, this is the only thing... Do you know what I mean? The only thing of substance you have that HBO decided to just not touch.
Yeah.
Conversely, well, so if
Cold Hand, was that his name? Cold Hands?
Yeah, but
he showed up in the show.
Yeah.
Right?
And he was like, yeah, I'm your uncle. Like, okay, mystery solved. And then if on the show, Lady Stoneheart shows up on like the first episode of the new season, I don't know if I'll read the book. He's like, well, it's all here now.
Do we need to do like a recap show? Like, you know, separate from the whip around, just like recapping
Game of Thrones
from like our
it'd probably be pretty fun.
It's a goof,
something to think about. Let us know what you think at thewhiparound@gmail.com, or we'll just do it anyway. Yeah, so how about we use this energy, this I don't give a shit energy, Dave, how about we spare a moment, tap into your id, and have a long-awaited and pre-Thanksgiving edition of What Made Dave Angry This Week! Word.
Yo, so, bought a car this week.
Oh, shit.
New whip.
Congrats.
New
whip to
new
get me
whip
around.
In the driveway.
Congrats.
But I'll tell you what. Second to buying a house, buying a car has to be, like, the shittiest, most annoying experience a commercial experience that someone can go through.
Awful. It's awful.
Because first off, you go in, you got to gear yourself up. You have to arm yourself with knowledge. You're talking with the significant other. What's the game plan here? What are we doing? We're not going over this much a month. I'm not paying a penny more than this.
Mm-hmm.
And you get in there and they twist it. They twist everything.
Oh my God, yeah.
It's all manipulation all over the place. You're manipulating them. They're manipulating you. We go to one dealership. The guy goes, yeah, this car is great because it's got – you can switch between all-wheel drive and front-wheel drive. That way you save wear on the tires and you save on gas mileage, right?
Okay.
I go to another dealership, test drive a different car, and I said, oh, can you switch between front-wheel drive and all-wheel drive in this car? He goes, no. This car is always in all-wheel drive, so you don't have to worry about switching it. And just from that, I was like, man, these guys know how to twist every angle in their favor.
Yep.
And then they get you to the point where it goes, okay, well, what are you looking for here? What do you want to do? Like, what's your ideal situation? And you say, like, all right, I want a this month long lease. I want to pay this much a month. I'm going to leave this much down, and that would just be great. And then if he comes back with it, what are you supposed to do? You got no wiggle room now. You can't say, like, oh, well, I was really hoping it would be less. It's like, well,
I lied to you.
Yeah. And why does it take so long? We went after work, so I got there at about 5:30. We actually brought the kids because I thought it would maybe help accelerate the process, like get these kids out of here.
Yeah.
I guess I was home at 10.
Yeah, that's about what happened to me last time.
But we were we went in. We knew what car we wanted. Yep. We knew what we wanted to pay for it. They met our demands. We were happy with everything. It was just the process couldn't have gone any smoother at that dealership. But what took so long? Why was I there for 4 hours?
I'm guessing they're sweating us when they do that. You know what I mean? Like, because you're looking at all the other cars, and what if, you know, all it takes is someone going like, well, hold on, how much for that over there? You know, like,
or you're like, I'm starving. Just what do I sign to get out of here? I got to hit up a Wawa.
I think the whole thing, well, there's that too. Like, don't look too closely at the paperwork because you just got to get lost. I don't know, but don't you feel like everything in there, though, is measured precisely to, like, push you off balance, like from the chairs to the phrasing, to the timing, to the lighting scheme? Like, everything in there is another crosshairs on your wallet, on your face, you know?
The terrible, terrible pot of coffee that's burning on the burner.
Yep.
It's like complimentary coffee.
So by the time they're saying something to you about like, oh, this is the deal, you can come in here and get a free oil change, and you're like, yeah, fine, oil change, see you later. fine, yeah, another 10,000 down, sure, yeah, I'm out of here. I don't know about you, Dave. You probably haven't been as bad as this, but I used to work in, you know, automotive finance, and
I talked
to finance managers or whatever. The last time we went in to get a car, no, it was the time before last, so getting what Kate drives now, okay? Kate's like, I know you got, I'll follow your lead, I'll do whatever. I don't know what happened, Dave. We walk in, the guy walks up to me, and I go, I'm not very good at buying cars. Like, that was my opening statement. And I didn't know what happened. I said, and Kate looked at me like, what the fuck was that? Don't hurt me, I'm not very good at this. Which, I don't know why I said that. It's not even true.
Are you very good at buying cars?
No, but I'm not like, I don't know how to do this. Like, I've done quite a bit with how the financing works, you know, for several years.
Sure.
But I was like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know why. I don't. Maybe something took over that I was like, let me play it this way. Just, but what? How was that? You can't play possum with a salesperson. Like,
no. And
I suck.
Are you any more terrified driving than the second you get your new car and you drive it off the lot?
Oh my God!
I just see buses coming at me from
driverless buses and dump
the
trucks
wrong way down a one way street right at me.
Drunk college kids just gunning it down the slow lane. What was the shortest duration? Well, you haven't had as many accidents, I think, as I have. First of all, how many vehicular mishaps have you been in?
I've been in like
you're driving.
Like you're not counting little fender bender stuff, right? You're talking about like events.
Well. Beyond a scuff, you know, like something.
Sure. Two. I've been in two. Oh,
okay.
One was significant. The other one was not really, but it.
Okay. I've been in eight.
Caused a call.
Eight for me.
Eight. Wow. You're a menace.
I'm somewhat a bad driver with bad luck on the road. And the fastest turnaround from getting a vehicle, it was used, to when I had to get yet another one because of a wreck. I think it was 8 days.
No.
It was a terrible situation. It was black ice on the back roads and whatever. And, you know, but that was the one where I was going round and round and round and almost went up and over a snowbank down into a driveway full of cars. Like, it was ugly.
Oh, my Lord.
But, like, I literally, it was the situation. You know, when you sign the forms, you're like, okay, your insurance is going to switch over. You know, just be careful for the next couple days while it all changes over. Don't do anything crazy. I fell in that window, and they were like, we fucking told you.
One thing. We asked one thing of you.
Yeah, so don't buy a car in, you know, January in the Northeast. Oh, well, this has been a Better Dave Business Bureau. What a
sure.
What do you call that?
A BDB.
Yeah, a BDB edition of WMTATW or whatever. What did I do this week? Damn it. So let's take us a quick break, and then we will be back for some off-kilter kind of news. All right. Thanksgiving. I can smell the family arguments already.
Doctor's log. Stardate. whatever the hell it is, still in search for Martian penis. The best we can hope for, however, right now is 5 stars. The best we can hope for this mission, some amount of success, would be review. A nice review. Something positive out of this damn mission, looking for Martian dongs all over the place. Subscriptions would be nice, too.
Martian penis detected.
Hope!
Martian penis approaching.
More hope!
Martian penis opening fire.
Damn it.
Shield at jizz percent.
Well, it'd be nice to go out on a lot of subscribers.
Martian penis. Martian penis. Martian penis. Martian penis. Martian penis. Martian penis. Martian penis.
We're back. Act two, or hey, Dave. How about main course?
Oh, yeah.
Main course, because Thanksgiving is right around the corner. And or Dave, if they're listening to this after Thanksgiving, it's all leftovers, really, isn't it? It's all double-decker.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's all in a ball of foil in the fridge.
That's right. And let's do some weird news.
Do it!
All right. Okay. Dave, I need for my story, I need to give you some audio first. All right?
Okay.
Your job is going to be to guess what is happening.
Okay.
You're going to hear the same thing 3 times.
Oh, well, then I'm definitely going to get it then.
From 3 different... perspective. So there's a close to the event, there's 150 yards from the event, and one taken about 11 miles away, but that one for some reason is slowed down. So you get plenty of shots at this, and then you need to tell me what you think is happening, okay?
Okay, all right. I'm ready. Is it over?
Yes. So what were you listening to 3 times in a row?
I don't know. It was like a bang and then some sort of screeching and people screaming. So
no, I could hear it. You don't have to describe it to me.
Listen, I'm trying to break it down for myself here. I'm trying to talk it out.
All right, millionaire. Who wants to be a millionaire? Let's do it. Who wants to be an audio millionaire?
Maybe an amusement park ride gone awry.
Okay. Final answer?
Sure.
The correct answer, Dave, is it's a wedding dress exploding.
What?
Yes. On this past Saturday night in the small town of, I'm going to probably say it wrong, Lacoste, Texas. A bit
like
out.
The shirt.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm probably wrong.
The little gator.
Right. It's the inspiration behind the gator shirt. a bit outside San Antonio, and it's small town.
Okay.
Kimberly Santelbin Steitler held herself a divorce party with her unhappy marriage of 14 years behind her. Officially, Kimberly had friends and family over for a shindig. Oh, boy. There was alcohol.
Sure.
Music. She had a little crown. I think it was like a little black tiara with a note on it that said, "I'm not with stupid." Huh?
Okay, it's a good one.
Plenty of snacks, a high-powered rifle, and 20 pounds of Tannerite, which they use in, like, exploding targets at target ranges for rifle practice. 20 pounds, though, is a lot of Tannerite. So, you know, strapped to the slightly used wedding gown and seated at a table a little over, 100 yards from this dress.
So what you would say as a layman, more than you would need.
Oh, yes.
To destroy a wedding dress.
Oh, yes. Overkill by several
orders.
Was
the dress in like a ball?
I can't tell because in the video, which everybody should go see, because it really, you see like a fireball boom in the, it's like a mini mushroom cloud.
Awesome.
It's far enough away because whoever was filming it knew like, well, if I get any closer, I'm with stupid. You know, like, so all you see at night in the distance is nothing. The Texas sky, dark Texas sky, and then kaboom. So I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, she was seated at a table, and she had, like, her spare rounds, her beer bottle, a little iPod dock, because you don't do that without music. You know, mm-hmm. took aim with her scoped rifle, fired.
Oh, that was the fuse, huh?
Yep. And
nice.
Again, it was just like apocalypse. Boof. You know, a couple of different news agencies spoke to her and asked just how the plan came about. She said, quote, I had a lot. And I'm not going to do like a mean Texas accent or anything because she's a rock star. So, you know, imagine your own drawl. But she said, I had a lot of advice and suggestions from friends and family, like donating it for premature babies and baptism gowns. However, to me, the dress represented a lie. I wanted to have a divorce party to burn the dress. But wow. Her dad and her brother-in-law, which I don't know, like, does that mean that he's the divorced dude's brother or maybe through something else?
It could be like her sister's
I know, but
husband.
I'm hoping that it's the husband's brother because he gets like the big balls for saying like, I'm picking sides and it ain't you.
Oh, well, maybe he's trying to slip in there, you know, slide in the DMs.
It could be. And I'll post a link to it. But Dave, you know, I see pictures of this woman. She's surrounded by friends, her beaming dad, positive 10-gallon hat vibes all around. And I feel like she gets it. The idea that pain can be exercised, but whatever gets that pain out has to be, on some level, connected and
significant.
Obviously, I was thinking of the word like commensurate. You know, like commensurate with
sure,
and hopefully have fun too. It shouldn't just otherwise. It's like, well, why don't you blow yourself up? You know, well, no, get it out there. So I was curious, number one, about your thoughts on the story, but then I want to ask one more question about it. So what's your reaction to the story itself? She blows up in a large fireball, her wedding dress.
Well, I think the dress at night is big and bright.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
No, I think it's awesome. I mean, like, no one was hurt, right? I mean, although there was definitely that possibility in there somewhere that someone could have gotten injured.
It's not, the risk is not nothing, Dave. The risk is not nothing.
Do not use my powers against me.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I think it's cool, man. Like, you know, that makes you feel good. It's cool. It's all
right. It's cathartic. It has to be cathartic, right?
So yeah, because, I mean, you could certainly just light it on fire, but it's not visceral enough. I mean,
not at all. And I can't imagine that wedding gowns are made in such a way that they'll burn easily or well. I'm pretty sure they're like, you know what would be bad with this Vera Wang dress is if it went up like a fucking Roman candle when the bride walks by a fireplace or something. You know what I mean? Like, it must be resistant.
Yeah, it'd be great if it blew up and then all that was left was like a Death Eater's skull with a snake coming. I mean, like, that's kind of like what you're probably envisioning.
Yeah,
when
like
you
the,
see it go up.
The smoky remnants up in the sky or just like the skull and crossbones with like
a
broken wedding ring. Here was what I wanted to ask you, though. What have you done in the past, if anything? I'm hoping you have. What have you done to go like, I'm hurting right now and I want a cathartic way to get through something? Whether it was heartbreak or whether it was something else, like, did you ever do anything that was like, I'm doing this thing? I'm getting my pain out my way.
See, the thing about me is that I'll do this virtually almost for any reason whatsoever.
I don't like this chicken.
Yeah, for example, I came home one day and there were no parking spots in front of my house because there was T-ball going on across the street. So,
Right. Of
course, I drove my truck up over the curb, ran over my metal trash cans, and then put it in reverse and drove down the street, dragging one of them about two blocks to a parking spot. Like, normal, right? Like, that's normal. Across the street from a school littered with a bunch of children playing T-ball.
I was going to say who are currently outside. Yeah. Did you feel better for having, but you know, society's rules notwithstanding, did you feel better with that action?
Yeah, I actually did, because every single parent over there was like, that guy is mad that there's no parking spot in front of his house.
Yeah, ideally that's what they're thinking. or they're just reflexively like a gunslinger reaching down for their pepper spray and like their 911 ready cell phones. Like, you know, hopefully they're like, I'm pretty sure he's just disgruntled about parking.
Yeah, but I mean, are you specifically asking about destroying something to feel better?
Well, in a sense, I'm asking if there was anything that you did that was, you know, what's the word here? I think you used like guttural the other week. Something that is visceral, something that is powerful. That certainly fits the bill, even though the rage outside of you, Dave.
Like, there was more going on than just the lack of a parking spot. I mean, that was a bad day.
You're never going to believe this, but, you know, I got demons. And that
my own
shit,
things going on.
Right,
you know?
He got his own things going on there, I think. For I don't think I really have anything besides the maudlin, so it wasn't good enough. I remember taking a bunch of pictures of an ex, and I was like, I'm going to burn these. And it didn't burn well, and it just stank and kind of melted, and it was shitty. And then one of them I was like, all right, I'll keep this one. You know, like, it just was garbage. But I do want to salute an ex of mine who shall remain nameless because she did it right.
Do I know this person?
Of course you do, but we're not.
Cool.
What she did is when we broke up, she gathered up all of my stuff that was in her place, put in a box, had her friend drive to where they knew I would be. And it was on campus. So there was a parking lot that I was in. I don't know if they staked it out or just lucked out. They drove past me going like a good 25, 30 miles an hour. And she yelled like, you dick! And like just emptied the box at me. Like, didn't throw the box. Because that might have actually been convenient in a way.
Sure.
She emptied it and just shit like went brrr, like all over. And then they like pulled out and like.
Like as the car's moving, just shaking out of the.
Yeah. It slowed down to maybe like, you know, 10 miles an hour for the actual, for the actual Sean got whacked, you know, but it, you know, ass on dick. And I remember, I don't know why, but I had like a plastic, it was like a grenade or something, like part of a silly game we had. And I remember watching this grenade like tumble. And I was like, now that's some symbolism right there. But yeah, so that happened. That's what I have, Dave. That was my weird news, and some fun questions were asked and answered. Do you want to take a swing?
Sure.
Let's hear what you got.
I'm also going to stay in the realm of matrimony here.
Oh, wow. Theme. All right.
Yeah. And this is the story of, and I know I'm going to butcher this, Akiko Kondo.
This is the story of a Kondo.
Yeah. Well, he spent $18,000 to marry a hologram last week.
No, this is Japanese. I mean, the name alone, but also marrying a hologram is distinctly Japanese.
Yeah, sure. The lucky lady is Hatsune Miku, and that is a $2,800 singing hologram that functions a lot like your Amazon Alexa. So if there was like a physical personification of Alexa,
like
that
a
would
fat
be like,
head like, of Alexa like, just like stick on my wall.
It's very well, this is very like Sailor Moon-esque, so you have to be a certain, you have to have a type.
Okay. And you it know. Regular you can any size, I guess, depending on where projector is pointing. Like,
well, the pictures I saw of it, it's sort of like desk lamp size.
Oh, well, isn't that convenient?
Yeah. Kondo's family did not approve.
Right, okay.
So none of them were in attendance among the 40 guests that witnessed the ceremony. Even the Miku was not there. Kondo used like a stuffed
what the fuck
doll to as a stand-in. And while the marriage isn't legal, Gatebox, the company behind Miku, did issue them a marriage certificate along with 3,700 others who are interested in popping the cross-dimensional question.
Wow.
So people are out there marrying this this gadget. Thoughts on marrying inanimate objects? Go.
I am...
You for it?
I can't support that. That is such a quitter. Like, that. Why don't you just marry a dead woman? You know, why not just marry a corpse? Because they can't say anything either. Okay. Like, just stuff a corpse. And like, hey, I got it. Like, and I don't, It's weird to me knowing that after this happened, everybody knew he's going to go home and jerk off to a hologram. Like, that's a whole dimension to me, because, you know, when you see him leave...
I mean, you got to consummate the marriage, though, you know.
Well, right. So did he bang the stuffed animal stand-in? Or did he... something else?
Well, you think he just, like, thrust right through the hologram?
Right. Like, you know, what are the logistics of this?
I can feel it.
And you know what? He is responsible for answering those questions. I feel that he should be on the hook. You can't, like, play it like, don't ask me that. Like, no. You entered into this thing. By the way,
I don't kiss and tell.
Well, you don't kiss. It's a hologram. And then, don't you feel like this? Okay. All right. One is, like, the lowest odds in the world, okay? And 10 is it's a sure bet. Scale of 1 to 10, you know, if there's a power outage, how long till this guy... you know, commits some terrible act against humanity. How long before he's just like, the power was out, I had to go to the graveyard?
I mean, that's a good point.
To quote 30 Rock, this guy is staunchly in favor of Cocoa Puffs. Like, that's crazy. That's disassociative crazy. I'm going to avoid people. And I don't think anyone should have to interact with people if they don't want to. Take it from me.
Sure. Yeah.
But there's got to be a line where you're, you know, same species.
I appreciate that you're like eschewing the whole like live and let live.
Well, no, because like you said, now his whole family is like, what do we do with this? Now I'm supposed to talk to you and you're going to say
carry on the family name that way.
Right. And you're going to refer to yourself. You're going to talk about we. So when they ask about, you know, whatever, I don't know any Japanese holidays. I don't know, you know. Sony has a new console. I have no idea. But when they're like, what are you doing for that day? You know, he's going to be like, oh, well, we thought this. How do you not be like, no, there is no we. There is no we. I didn't realize
he can't get out of any engagements, though. He can't say true. Like, oh, you know, Miku's not feeling well, or
Miku's lens is dirty. Like, no, that's a 5-second fix.
Yeah.
It's just a quick little and you know, wipe that shit down.
Do you think he would notice if someone bought him a new Miku and switched him out without...
Anyway. Is she like a program or just an image?
No, from what I gather, it's like a moving image. Like, she's like animated.
I mean, I guess that's a little better. But she's got to be pre-programmed. She's not AI. She can't be like, oh, you seem bummed today.
No. I don't think it's any more than what, like, your Amazon Alexa would do.
I think it's unhealthy. I think it encourages some scary behavior. Because I'm all for someone going, like, let me put it this way, okay? If you want to be common law married to a potato, I don't care. Sure. You haven't done anything. You haven't been like, hey, everybody, look at what I'm doing. Because that's disorder to me. That says disorder. That either you are in breach of reality or you're kind of taunting everybody to be like, this is crazy. And you know it's crazy. Because he's not just going to be like, I don't know, I just want to sit here with my hologram. He's like, that's my wife. Like, that's crazy talk.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is sort of just the tip of the iceberg because if you want to play a little game,
oh God!
I have some examples of some people marrying inanimate objects that I think you're going to be really impressed with.
Oh my God! And I don't mean to be uptight about this, Dave, but it bothers me. There better not be a corpse. Although that'd be fascinated if there is. All right, what's the game?
All right, we'll see. So here, I'm going to tee up an inanimate union for you, and you're going to have to guess. I'm going to give you two examples of inanimate objects. You're going to have to guess the inanimate object that the person I'm describing married.
Oh, man. All right.
So I got five. I got five examples. You get three of them right, you win.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Of five or whatever.
Yeah. Yep. So first example. In 2015, Floridian Linda DeCharme appeared on TLC's reality series My Strange Addiction. Despite the name of the show, DeCharme insists that she does not suffer from an addiction. She is obsessed with carnival rides. She just happens to be in love with one. His name is Bruce, and he is a what? A Ferris wheel, or B, a carousel?
Come on, lady. And the name is Bruce, right?
Bruce.
Did she give him this name? Do we know, or is that the actual?
You know, I don't have any. I don't have any data on that.
What
but,
is the provenance of this? I'm going to guess that it. You know, it just feels more intimate. I should be careful what I say. Or all of a sudden, next thing you know, Sean's got himself a sticker collection and he's married to it. I'll say the Ferris wheel.
You are correct.
All right.
Carousel would have been too creepy, as that would infringe on a bestiality type situation.
Yeah.
Ducharme met her husband at a carnival in 1982. She even supported him in, quote, sickness and health, because Bruce sustained damage in a storm in 1986, which had him shut down. Ducharme claimed Bruce's remains and has spent almost $100,000 repairing him. That's commitment.
You know, it really lends like a new edge to that urban legend about, you hear the Ferris wheel? There were a couple kids that got like dumped out of the top and like fell. You know what I'm saying? You know, Bruce is a murderer. Bruce is a child murderer.
See, the thing is when you get married, you're supposed to get your spouse's benefits.
Yeah.
So you should have had some sort of health insurance.
This is true.
All right, let's go to number two. Again, I'm going to butcher these names. Chang, his son, lost his first wife, Sai, to suicide. His family opposed their marriage, and Sai killed herself as a result in 1999. 20 years after Sai's death, Chang married what? In order to put his first wife's spirit to rest.
Oh, God.
A, Sai's childhood teddy bear.
Oh, God.
Or B, a Barbie doll.
So this is bad. Either way, this is bad. I'm going to answer what I really, really hope it isn't. Okay?
Okay.
And I'm going to say her childhood teddy bear.
Okay, that's incorrect. He did marry a Barbie doll.
At least it's that, Dave. And you know what? So that means you came up with that fake idea? Now you should be under observation along with my sticker collection in future.
Fair enough. The wedding took place at Chang's local Buddhist temple. Barbie was dressed in a wedding gown and wore a gold necklace that had belonged to Sai. Chang's family gave the marriage their blessing this time, asking forgiveness for their initial disapproval.
Look, we didn't know who we were dealing with. Please forgive us. And again, at least he didn't marry her corpse.
Right. Okay, number three. Tracy Emin is a London artist whose spouse resides in the garden of her home in France. Her spouse is
a gnome. Please,
A rock. B, a gnome.
Oh, okay. Wait. Now wait. Is that just you again? Like I gave you the question about luau's the other week.
Yeah. Like double reverse, right?
You know, I'm gonna do a Dave strategy, and I'm gonna say it was the rock.
Yeah.
That is so sad.
Yeah, Emin was philosophizing about her own relationships in terms of spiritual versus physical connections. She believes she has a spiritual connection with what she calls her, quote, beautiful ancient stone. She also calls it her anchor, saying, quote, it's not going anywhere.
Okay, that's sick, but it's bittersweet, you know? Like, it's like, you're fucked in the head, but, you know, I would let you out on visitation. I'd let you go to a ball game.
Yeah, sure.
You know, let you take your rock with you, go out of the walls a while. Meanwhile, I got Ferris wheel lady probably, you know, spending a lot of time watching Price is Right in the common room.
Yeah, that's pretty, I mean, that's a good point. You could always just put rock in your pocket.
Yeah.
I don't know how big the rock is, but I would imagine it's portable.
One can hope, Dave, but not too portable.
So you only need one out of these last two correct.
That's right.
To get the W.
Yeah.
Okay, so number four, Lauren Adkins, who is a huge Teen Lit fan, married a cardboard cutout of who? A, Robert Pattinson, Edward from Twilight.
Yeah, okay.
Or B, Josh Hutcherson, PETA from The Hunger Games.
Oh. Now, I don't know what that one looks like, the PETA one. So I don't know who's the more handsome.
I think you know.
Well, a cardboard cutout. Also, the Robert Pattinson Twilight guy.
Yeah, that one was a bit of a gimme. When Adkins read the Twilight novels as a teenager, she developed a major crush on the character of Edward Cullen. The moment Adkins saw the Twilight movie for the first time, her infatuation transferred from the fictional character to the actor who played him. At least she was with it enough to know that a marriage with Pattinson was unlikely. Instead, she found a cardboard cutout of Pattinson and married it. The wedding took place at the Viva Las Vegas Wedding Chapel.
Can I tell you what I'm picturing, Dave?
Yeah, do it.
That she went to, I mean, before they all closed, I think like all movie stores, you know, like DVD stores are probably closed, but whatever. There was one that was still open, and she just like, we used to go out back like every night to like that
West
side of the
Coast
mall.
Video.
Yeah, she went like behind the mall to where the dumpsters were, and like I can see him sticking out like a baguette. You know, from a grocery bag in a movie.
Right.
It's just like Robert Pattinson and that weird low forehead looking up and weird pale at you. That she just lifted him out. I'm seeing, you know, spaghetti noodles clinging to the to the bottom. And
got a couple stains on him.
Yeah, you know, she shook him off. She took him home, lovingly wiped him off with paper towels or whatever. And on their relationship went... And that also reminds me of, remember Men in Tights, Robin Hood, Men in Tights?
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Remember when she had the cardboard cutout of the Sheriff of Rottingham in her boudoir?
Yes,
weird, creepy. So at least that one, I'll survive this mentally any way I can, brings up some silly images. And you know, is it more or less disturbing if a guy did that with a female cutout based on what we're capable of physiologically?
Less?
I feel it's more disturbing if a dude did that, because, all right, best not to go too far down that road.
This is depravity.
This is a family Thanksgiving episode of the fucking whip around.
You want to do the last one just for funsies?
Yeah, man. Let me double down. Let me do some bragging rights here.
Okay. Carol Santa Fe was only 9 years old when she met the love of her life. After 36 years of adoration, Carol married her wife, Daedra, in 2015.
Daedra
is a what? A, 1957 Mustang her father faithfully maintained, or B, the Santa Fe Depot, a train station in San Diego.
All right, what's the first one? It was a car, right? The dad.
Yeah, a 1957 Mustang. Or B, a train station in San Diego.
Okay, so in this one, I'm going to pick the one that disturbs me least, all right, between the two. I'm going to go away from, like, psychologically boning dead dad via the car, and I'm going to say she married the train depot just because that will scar me less.
Okay, you're correct.
Oh, thank God. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, Carol commutes 45 minutes every day in order to spend time with her wife.
Ugh.
Carol says she mentally has sex with Daedra. A certain area of the station gives Carol
stop.
Privacy where she touches
stop.
Daedra.
Stop.
And she admits that when the trains rev their engine, she gets turned on.
Okay.
Carol refrains from engaging in physical sex with the train station because it's a public venue and she wants to be respectful.
Right. Yes. This smacks of respect for all parties involved. No one less than the self-respect going on here. First of all, that one leaves me with a lot of questions. So
sure,
obviously
yeah.
This is another one of those unofficial marriage certificates, I'm sure.
Yeah, or like any at all. It may just be just nonsense.
And it is a benevolent kind of crazy, but that is crazy. And I like that she's like, look, I'm not going to lie to you. When the trains come chugging through, that feels pretty good.
Which one of these five do you think is the most grounded in reality? The cardboard cutout girl?
All right. What were they again? There was the Ferris wheel.
Ferris wheel.
Cardboard,
the Barbie doll.
Barbie doll.
See, the Barbie doll was to sort of exorcise a demon, I think, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
The Rock. Oh,
the Rock and the Depot. I feel okay. They're all nuts,
without a doubt.
I do feel more bonded to the Rock lady because she's like, "Look, I was thinking about spiritual this and solidarity that, and you know, this thing will never leave." Which, by the way, Depot lady, that's like a small loss constantly. Pieces of it are leaving you all day. Mm-hmm. Maybe getting laid, you know, in the tunnels or something. You don't know because you're not giving it any. And the Rock feels, I don't know, it feels, you know, Pet Rock, make the same idea, rolling with my garden rock.
Okay.
Rock it, my pocket, booyakasha.
The most bananas one is the Ferris wheel, right?
I thought the depot, like this is my whole wife, including the gum under the benches, the detritus blown across the tracks. The teenager.
The dude shitting in the pickle jar.
Right. Exact. Thank you. The teenagers who are throwing up because they are coming home from a party or whatever. Like the rats fucking on the railroad ties. All of that. My wife.
My wife.
I'm filled with sadness, Dave. I'm filled with sadness. See?
It takes all kinds.
I was going to say, like my grandpa used to say, you know, for every pot, there is a train depot. So that's that, huh?
That's all I got for today.
Let us give thanks that, you know, of all of our relationships, I would bet for our listeners and for us, a good 90% of them have been with living, human, cognizant partners. That is our relationship history between Dave, myself, our listeners. At least it's not a Barbie doll. At least it's not a train depot. It's cool that not all these are in Japan.
Oh, no.
I'm just going to throw that out there,
too. U.S. representation. We had some England in here.
It's sort of a Street Fighter kind of thing that I'm imagining. You got to go travel to these other places to, like, face off to pit your marriage against their insane
USSR.
Marriages. Right. India. All right. Dave and I are going to take a break, figure out which of these is the least crazy, maybe, and then we will be back for dessert.
Brazil.
That's act three.
Japan. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if I could have your attention for just a moment.
All right, hold on.
You all know that I've been doing the whip around for a little over a year now, and we've gotten quite close. And I just want to take this Thanksgiving to make the announcement that I've asked the whip around to marry me, and then she said yes.
Hey, whoa, Dave.
Yeah.
It's a podcast.
Yeah.
How's that?
And a great one, right? And a great one.
No, yeah, 5 stars all the way. But how do you even communicate? How do you talk to your fiance?
Oh, well, I mean, we talk on Facebook all the time.
All right, but how do you even, like, how do you see the whip around? What would you look at? The sound.
Are you kidding me? The whip around puts pictures on Instagram like crazy.
Oh, Jesus, he's right. Well, I mean, you know, is there some way to, like, pithily say things? Short little bursts of, like, hey, I love you. You know what I mean? Like, everybody has, like, little love notes.
Yeah, whip around's all over Twitter.
Fucking hell. All right, you know, I don't mean to be crass. No, Grandma. I don't mean to be ugly about this, Dave, but there are certain things you can't do, you know, that you can't with a podcast.
Hey, man, all I need is a little rate, review, and subscribe. You know what I'm saying?
God's sake. All right. Congrats to Dave, everybody. I hope you have lots of little podlet babies. Jesus Christ. God, are you going to sit down? Gross. Well, welcome to dessert. It's finally time to cut the pie, serve the cake, have a little bit of extra cranberry dog food looking stuff on the side of your dessert plate, too. And before we get to a very special final little segment here, let's turn to Dave. And a lot of you are going to be watching sports on Thanksgiving, which is a thing. So let us ask Dave, now back in his Philadelphia Sixers beanie, what's going on in the world of Podadelphia?
Oh, man, it was a rough one this week. The Eagles lost to the Saints, and it was the worst loss experienced by a defending Super Bowl champ in the history of Super Bowls. So, needless to say, we were searching for joy anywhere we were able to find it. So,
what was the final score? I'm not talking shit. I don't know.
No, I think it was 48-7, 41-7.
Oh, Jesus.
It got to the point where I was just, you know, whatever.
Tables flipped at the DiOrio household? Coffee
tables? No, because we're in the apathetic stage.
Oh, okay.
No, the rage stage ended last week with the Cowboys.
It's
just
the rage stage.
I'm on the rage stage.
Pissed, Bo pissed. Dave is fucking Bo pissed, but now it's down. Okay.
Jazz hands on the rage stage.
Wow. Episode. Hold on. Let me jot that down. So I'm sorry, but what else was going on? What else did you talk about to try not to focus too much on that awful event?
Well, we told the Sixers have been giving us a lot of joy lately, so we tried to focus on the positive. And the new addition of Jimmy Butler has the Sixers poised, in a pretty good spot in the East.
You know,
the NBA.
I noticed you guys talked about there are no Gritty Dolls yet, the Flyers mascot that looks like somebody scared Gumby into a monster or something, or Gumby werewolf, a were-Gumby.
An inside-out pumpkin, I think he looks like.
Okay. All right, I like it, but there are no dolls? There are no
No, my
plushies?
Wife was at the game last week, and she was trying to, because my kids love them, and they wanted, we wanted to put maybe them in the stocking or something. Now there's no Gritty Dolls available at this time.
Terrible marketing. That's awful marketing.
I just think they didn't think he was going to go in Fuego as much as he did.
That's crazy. Anything else? Any other Podadelphia highlights? Maybe something from the penalty box? Any good penalty boxes?
No, but you know what? We're having a Podadelphia at the movies tomorrow night. So if you want to join us out at the Plymouth Meeting Regal at 10 o'clock at night tomorrow night, we're going to go see Creed 2. You can meet it'll be last night. We went last night.
Get that DeLorean out of your garage. Fire it up. Come on.
But we're going to have our first movie review. So we're going to review Creed 2 and talk about Rocky, and we may have a special guest on, hopefully, and it's going to be fun.
So yeah, we can check that out. Now that's a special episode, so it won't be the usual time.
That's going to be in your feed on Thanksgiving morning. So when you're driving to your in-laws, you listen to some P-Delf.
You don't just have to watch sports. You can listen to sports on the way to your Thanksgiving event and then watch sports at the event itself.
You got it.
Yo, that's intense. If only I could smell sports on the way home, Taste sports. No, that's awful. Regular episodes of Podadelphia come out sometime in the wee morning hours of Monday. Perfect for your...
Yeah, it's 6 a.m. Monday.
Your drive into work. I know I usually try to listen to it while I'm making my kid lunch, which is a strange ritual that I have to go, these are sports that I don't know anything about while I'm quickly making your sandwich in the morning.
Yeah.
No, we will not watch cartoons. We're going to listen to Dave talk about how fucked up it all is. Eat your sandwich. All right. So, Dave, we've got a special treat for everybody here for the Three for the Road edition, because it's not actually your average Three for the Road, is it?
No, it's not. We're going to give thanks today.
Or something like that. We're going to talk thanks.
An unthanks.
Yeah, we're going to sound off.
A no thanks.
A no thanks. Excellent. Maybe that's the episode title. We're going to talk about our feelings about Thanksgiving. You currently, listener, right now, citizen, you are not listening to what I would describe as a Thanksgiving, a pro-Thanksgiving show. I don't know if Dave's vitriol goes as far as mine. We're about to find out. But we are both, correct me if I'm wrong, Dave, we are both like high point Halloween, high point Christmas.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Thanksgiving, not as much of a high point. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, it's just a family dinner,
Okay. So what we're going to do is talk about that. It's going to have our Thanksgiving thoughts. I think mine might be even more poisonous than Dave's based on how, benign his response was. But let's see how it goes in a segment that just for this week we're calling what, Dave?
Three for the Tinfoil Swan?
Yes, three for the Tinfoil Swan. That part of just this show and only this show when we talk about those things that are bothering us about goddamn Thanksgiving. And we are each going to have, we'll say 30 seconds, but since Thanksgiving is all about overindulging and being gluttonous bastards, things might go on just a little bit and, have another bite of turkey because you're just going to have to deal with that because we're about to tee off on tea giving. Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Dave, are you set?
Yes.
Dave, gobble, 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 go.
All right, this is one of the things that really drives me crazy about Thanksgiving. Nobody ever comes to me. Does your family go to you and say, Sean, what would you like to do for Thanksgiving this year? Do you want to come to my house? Should we? Do you want to host it? Do you want to get? No. This holiday is strictly for other people, and I'm always disappointing somebody on Thanksgiving.
Oh,
so it's like, you know, you go to this person's house, this person's disappointed. You go to their house, that one's disappointed. What are you going to try to do, lunch at one person's house and dinner? Oh, no, we're going to go to dessert over at this person's house. How about me? I just want to go home sometimes.
Yeah, I got to say, of all my complaints you're going to hear, my family's actually pretty chill about if we don't get you this point, let's just schedule another one on another day. So I'm sorry that happened to you, Dave.
Because there's nothing really, you know, specific about that day. You can do it any day. You can have a nice dinner any day.
Fucking A, Dave. Fucking A. So are you ready for mine? Here we go. Sean, yes. Go. My problem, first off, any dinner spent watching TV is clearly a shitty, shitty dinner. If sports is such a big fucking deal to you, fine, but plan around that shit. Don't sit on your fat ass when I'm supposed to like do special things. Other people are supposed to cook and do wonderful things. Will you shovel food in your mouth while you scream at the screen, then turn around and act like it's a really special day? That's a shit dinner spent watching shit TV, and you can do that any fucking day of the week without making relatives fucking suffer through it while you pig out. Like, if Thanksgiving meant anything at all, it would actually be paying attention to the family that begrudgingly gathered for this. So turn the TV off and listen to music or something while you actually talk to each other.
One of the best things about this time of year is the clothes. You get to wear, like, comfortable clothes. You get to wear jeans. You got a sweater.
Hoodie.
You know, you're chilling out, you know, maybe Thanksgiving you put a button down with a sweater on top of it. You're looking like you stepped out of like a J. Crew thing. The house is always hot. The house is never not hot. You know, you get to the house, you walk in, the oven's on, the heat's on. Everyone's lounging around, and by the time dinner comes, someone's got the back door wide open, letting the cold air in, because it's got to be 95 degrees in the house from all the cooking that's going on, all the people talking bullshit. It's too hot on Thanksgiving.
Fucking agreed. I like how lawless this one is. All right, how about this, Dave? Check it out. This is even how I'm disappointed in Thanksgiving historically. Did you know that modern Thanksgiving, the way we understand it in America, of course, came out of rich kids mocking the poor?
No, I did not know that.
Like a lot of the celebration factor. See, back in the 19th century, poor kids would knock on doors around Thanksgiving of, you know, well-to-do houses and ask for scraps and, you know, a little bit of money so that they could try to have something on this lovely day of thanks themselves. So, of course, eventually what happened was that posh pricks, little kids who were douchebag rich kids, would dress in rags and go around doing the same shit because, ha ha ha, we're poor. Give us something. It looked a lot more like Halloween with the costumes and whatever. And it even developed into like masquerade balls and stuff, all because the poor asked for a little bit of help. Oh, and red pennies. That was the thing, too. You know red pennies, Dave?
No, okay. Red pennies.
So people would come around asking for coins, right? Really poor people. So what rich folks would do sometimes is heat up pennies on the stove until they were white hot, throw them out into the street, watch little poor kids go try to pick them up and laugh while they would burn and blister their fingers trying to pick up change. Because how wonderful.
That's messed up. All right, I got like a little three in the three pack here. So
wow.
The first one is, you know, authentic stuff does not always taste better than the fake stuff. I like Aunt Jemima syrup or log cabin syrup.
Trash.
Over the authentic stuff, you know.
Slummin'.
The fake cranberry sauce tastes better than real cranberry sauce. It's got it's got the lines already set up for you to cut it in slices. The fake cranberry sauce is better. Number two, no one makes stuffing better than whoever made that stuffing when you were a kid. Mm. I don't care. You know, look, my dad makes it. My mom makes the best stuff. No one makes it better than whoever made it for you when you were a kid. That's number two. And number three, carve the damn turkey with an actual fucking knife. You don't need a motorized saw to carve the turkey. Like, let's bring some class to this Thanksgiving dinner. Sharpen up a knife and carve that turkey like a man.
Or a matriarch. Like a woman. Okay.
Woman.
So here's my question. I have a question. What is the message of Thanksgiving anymore? Eat? Eat a lot? Like, is that it? Not that it matters, because what Thanksgiving means anymore, because, you know, celebrating anything while eating an ass load of food is kind of a dick move. Like, you know, hey, how grateful are we that the Native Americans weren't in a position to eradicate the struggling Puritans, who would then go on to say thanks by eradicating those natives. Yay, let's eat food the Native Americans would never have eaten, and give nothing to the ancestors that we fucked over so hard they're all but gone. Like, you know, if you bring up, like, you know, that sucks what happens to the Native Americans at 9 out of 10, you know, family Thanksgiving dinners, you get booed out of the room, right? You'll have some stuffing thrown at you on the way, like, come on, you're bumming us out. Like, bumming us out? We're eating on genocide day. I'm not saying we can't be happy about it, but shouldn't we maybe do something on that day to give back instead of like, yeah, I'm really thankful for the whipped cream or the pumpkin pie. Like, we're kind of dicks. We might as well be kind of cool on Thanksgiving, but we're not doing it. And I just don't know what it's about anymore. Is that the end?
That's the show. We did it. I'm thankful that we did it.
All right. Well, we genuinely hope that you make it through Thanksgiving just fine. But hey, if you need to come and vent, listen to this episode of The Whip Around, email us, thewhiparound@gmail.com. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Let us know what upsets you about Thanksgiving. If you don't agree and think it's wonderful and we're missing something, let us know. And of course, rate, review, subscribe the show. It helps it get out to even more listeners like yourself. The next time we talk to you, it's sort of a WWE kind of thing here. We're now on the road to Christmas. So the next time that we're in your ears, it's going to be some holiday action going on in the Whip Around. So I'm looking forward to that, and I hope you are too, Mean Gene. We have to go and prep for Thanksgiving because it's a wonderful time. So, have a great day. Have a great Thanksgiving. Make sure to eat just as much as you can. And we love you. Bye-bye.
The thankfulest we ever did it.
Gobble, gobble, motherfucker. See, it
takes all kinds, man.
I was going to say, like my grandpa used to say, you know, for every pot, there is a train depot.